I hate Paris in the drive time.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. If your commute is a little rough this morning, just take a moment and think of Paris. Traffic was backed up for 150 miles around the city today because of this transit strike. Rail workers have been off the job for 6 days now. They're protesting changes to their pension system. President Sarkozy says the special retirement benefits are a privilege that France can't afford right now. And the French people are starting to turn on the strikers. John Lawrenson reports from the gridlock.
10,000 people marched in Paris yesterday chanting, "Stop the strike and let us work." Commuters are exasperated by almost a week of transport gridlock, which French Railways says has already cost them $150 million. Unions agreed to begin negotiations Wednesday. The number of strikers has fallen by almost half since the strike began, but the unions believe their movement could snowball this week. Civil servants worried about job cuts will go on strike tomorrow. Strikers are not winning the public sympathy that played such a crucial role the last time a government tried reforming the French economy a little over a decade ago. An opinion poll out today shows support for reform has increased and support for the strike has decreased over the past week. In Paris, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
The overseas stock markets are down to start the week. Japan's Nikkei fell 0.75%. London's FTSE is down almost 1% so far. The Dow begins at 13,176. It gained 1% last week. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 both added 0.33%. I find it hard to curl up with a good e-book. How exactly do you do that? Well, today Amazon rolls out its answer, a handheld e-book reader. More now from Sam Eaton.
Amazon.com's new portable device is called the Kindle. Electronic book readers have been available for more than a decade now, but the online retail giant hopes its wireless reader will transform the business, doing for electronic books what the iPod did for music downloads. And technology analyst Rob Enderle says since Amazon is already in the book business, it may have the advantage.
If they can address the historic content problem and provide an iPod-like experience on an e-book, they could, in fact, cause this platform to take off.
In the past, e-book devices failed to gain much traction. They were clunky and there wasn't much to download for a fee other than the latest Star Trek novel. That's slowly changing as publishers ramp up their e-book offerings. Random House plans to nearly double the number of electronic titles it offers next year. But Enderle says e-books still face an uphill battle. He says the main challenge is that their paperback competitors work just fine. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
If there actually is a great and powerful Oz, I think it might be Warren Buffett. Apparently, Buffett was behind the curtain helping Alex Rodriguez get a new contract with the New York Yankees. The Wall Street Journal says Buffett told A-Rod to go around his agent and deal with the team himself. That resulted in a new $275 million contract that's being finalized. Rodriguez and Buffett became friends several years ago. This is the Morning Report for Monday, November 19th on Marketplace.org. The National Association of Home Builders has plenty of reason to be gloomy, and they are. The group comes out with its monthly housing market index today, and it may hit an all-time low. Amy Scott reports.
If real estate developers are down in the dumps, things must be pretty bad. Christopher Thornburg with Beacon Economics says home builders are usually the ultimate optimists.
These guys always see the good side of things. You go back a year and a half ago, and these guys were believing the nonsense. Their surveys were relatively positive.
Not anymore. Last month, home builders' sentiment fell to its lowest level since the index debuted almost 28 years ago. In September, groundbreaking on new homes plunged to a 14-year low. Construction figures for October come out tomorrow. Thornburg says past cycles suggest the market could bottom out halfway through 2009.
I would argue that this is going to be worse, just because it's so much bigger than it has been in these past cycles.
But the National Association of Home Builders is naturally more optimistic. The group predicts the housing market will start to turn around in the middle of next year. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson is in Ghana today. It's his last stop in a 5-day trip across Africa. Paulson said he didn't want the visit to be about financial aid, but about business. Trade between the U.S. and Africa jumped 17% last year. Most of it was in raw materials like crude oil, copper, and timber. Gretchen Wilson has more from Johannesburg.
Economies in sub-Saharan Africa are growing at 5, 6, sometimes 7% a year. Recent comments by the IMF and World Bank suggest these increases can be sustained. Jeff Gable is head of research at Absa Capital in Johannesburg.
And that's tremendously helpful because that's the level of growth rate that you need in order to generate significant income in these countries and an opportunity to alleviate poverty in a meaningful way.
This is why Treasury Secretary Paulson says aid alone won't drive sustainable growth. Instead, he says Africa's success depends on changes that make businesses more willing to invest. These include sound fiscal and monetary policies, transparency, and the rule of law. He says U.S. assistance is earmarked for countries that have made similar market reforms. The hope is that by giving aid to countries like Lesotho and Tanzania to open markets, the wealth their markets generate will be spread more fairly. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Two of the United States' biggest trading partners, Canada and Brazil, say the U.S. is violating international trade laws. They're going to ask the World Trade Organization to look into whether U.S. subsidies to American farmers are so big they're hurting competition. More now from Paul Brandis.
Canada and Brazil say the U.S. consistently gives American farmers more than the allowed $19 billion subsidy every year. They say that gives U.S. farmers an unfair trade advantage. The U.S. denies this and says its payments have been below allowable limits.
Well, then I think we need to look at the limits.
Frank Dubois is a trade expert at American University's Business School.
There are quite a few American farmers who make more money on subsidies than they do actually making a final product for delivery to the marketplace. I think that this is skewing the trade relationships that we have with Brazil and Canada.
Even if the WTO rules that the U.S. has to cut its farm subsidies, Congress would have to approve. That's unlikely. In fact, lawmakers are haggling over a $286 billion bill that would give farmers every dime they have now and then some. In Washington, I'm Paul Brandis for Marketplace.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
In times of trouble, investors often sell stock and go liquid for a while. They put their cash in money market accounts and short-term bond funds. But even those, it seems, are not immune from bad mortgage investments. We found out last week that a General Electric bond fund was knee-deep in the subprime goo. GE offered people a chance to get out at 96 cents on the dollar. Alan Sloan, what did you think of that?
Well, it's horrifying is what it is. You see that now all sorts of mutual fund companies and some of the big bank companies are saying, gee, we had this toxic waste in our money market fund, but we'll make sure to make you whole, which is in itself sort of scary that the sponsor has to make you whole. Mm-hmm. When you have a GE bond fund that says they're not going to make you whole, that really makes me sit up and say, what on earth is going on here? And one of the things it makes me say is, why isn't GE standing behind this? But we don't know that. I can tell you the rules for not running into trouble like this.
Okay, what are they?
It's very simple. When you're dealing with a money market fund or a short-term bond fund, I mean, they're all essentially the same, except usually for their fees. And in the case of the money market fund, the reason I, thank God, have not had to lose a minute's sleep over subprime whatever is my money market fund is a low-cost fund, and it doesn't buy that stuff. The place you typically run into these problems are funds with higher-than-average costs that, in order to be competitive, then have to get higher-than-average returns on assets, so they do what's known in the trade as reaching for yield.
So what do you think investors should do right now?
You just want to be careful. And if you're going to be in money market funds, you can be in a money market fund that owns nothing but various U.S. Treasury things. You can be in money market funds that have low costs and are therefore less likely to run into trouble. Whenever you see a higher than normal yield, you want to look out.
All right, Alan, since we're approaching Thanksgiving, what would you say are the turkeys on Wall Street right now?
Well, the turkeys are money market funds with trash in them and a lot of commercial banks and brokerages, which suddenly found there were all sorts of turkeys in their portfolio that are gobbling up profits by forcing them to require losses.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, happy Thanksgiving.
And to you too, Scott.
If you'd like to share your thoughts with us, log on to our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.